It is time for another session with mindset coach Andre Nel as we become unstoppable in life and also get to know the mind a little bit better. Andre, nice to have you with us again. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. It's been a wonderful week. Just like the last few weeks, you know, I'm really happy, and I'm happy to be here again, having this conversation with you and spreading knowledge to all who are listening.
Because knowledge is power.
Exactly. And that's right. Knowledge is power.
It is. Yeah. So the mind, Andre, how would you define the mind?
Big question. Big question. I like it. So the mind, you know, when I first got on this road of personal development, one of the biggest misconceptions I had was that the mind is just the brain. And one of the most profound things that I've learned is that your mind is actually a static energetic field. Now, what does that mean? That means that your mind is present in your brain and actually in your entire body. If you think of like an electromagnetic field, you know, we can't see it, but we can feel its presence sometimes, and when you have the right tools or the right measuring instruments, you can, you know, you can see when two magnets are attracted to each other or not. And so your mind, in a similar sense, is an energetic field. And what I mean by the fact that it's static is that when you perceive things through your senses, what you perceive simply just is. It exists, it's picked up by your senses. And as soon as what's picked up by your senses enters your mind, which is to say your belief systems, it becomes thought, it becomes an idea, it becomes, oh, there's a, you know, a piece of paper, I wonder what it says. In that moment, your mind becomes dynamic. It becomes a dynamic energetic field. And you turn what you perceive by your senses, you turn that into something that has meaning for you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the basis of what your mind is. And so I want to emphasize the fact that your mind is not only your brain. Okay. Yeah. So it's present in each cell in your body, in each part of your body. And so what you think, what you believe, what you feel actually affects your entire body. And that's why your mind is such a powerful, it's a powerful concept. It's a powerful thing that you need to understand because it affects your entire being. You know, sometimes when you feel nervous, you get butterflies in your tummy. You know, it's a feeling that has an effect on your body. When you feel stressed, it affects your body. And all of these things are happening because of what's going on in your mind, and it's translating into what's happening in your body.
And then we're constantly working on making our mind better, you know, making the mind better, sort of, you know, improving all the time and stuff. But, I mean, is it possible? Or would you say that, you know, we all come with a mind and then that's it?
It's definitely possible to change it, to make it worse, make it better. So here's the thing, you know, we're all capable of achieving whatever we want. We're all capable. If you've done something in your life, technically I should be able to achieve the same thing as well, and vice versa. If I've done something in my life that you would like to have as well, through having the right mindset, through using the power of your mind, dynamic energy field, you can achieve the same thing. So similarly to how magnets attract each other, the mindset that you have and the level of vibration, the power, the intensity of your mind and the thoughts that you're having, the images that you're holding in your mind, that determines what kind of things you're attracting into your life. And so it brings me to another part of the mind, which is that your mind has two parts to it. There's the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. Okay. So the conscious mind is the part of our mind that we're aware of. That part actually exists in your brain. It's like the frontal lobe of your brain, you know, where planning and organization and conscious thought takes place, where you see something and you have a thought, or that's where you can, you know, that's the part where what we're using when we're shifting our mindset. It's the part that we're consciously aware of. But that part of our mind is less powerful than our subconscious mind. Mm. Our subconscious mind makes about 95% of our mind. And that's the part of our mind, you know, that we can't see, we can't touch it, you can't pinpoint its location. It's just present in your body. It's this energy field that's around you that's either attracting things or it's repelling things. It's attracting things that you're telling it to attract in that sense. So when we talk about, you know, changing your mind, improving your mind, or in some way, we kind of have to focus on both those parts in order to get the greatest effect. So if you're trying to make little changes or small changes, most likely you're going to be using your conscious mind. That's the part of your mind that you're using when, let's say, you know, something happens in your day and you feel frustrated, like we were speaking earlier about the construction that's going on outside.
Yes.
And that's frustrating. And that triggers a feeling, and that feeling is housed in your subconscious mind. And what happens is then that gets sent to your conscious mind, and you start having these thoughts like, oh, this construction is going to drive me crazy. I'm not going to get any work done today. It's going to ruin all the sound audio quality for the whole day. And it's just, that's your conscious mind, you know, creating and recreating things. But what you can do then is use your conscious mind and make a shift to saying, hang on, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to stop this train of thought. And I'm going to consciously, on purpose, by control, by design. And that's how you can start doing a conscious mindset shift. A subconscious mindset shift. Wow, that's a tongue twister. A subconscious
Careful.
Mindset shift.
Careful there.
It's much more intense. Because your subconscious mind cannot be accessed through words alone, right? Like if I just speak to you now, it's your conscious mind that's thinking different things and that you're kind of controlling, but you're not aware of your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind thinks in pictures and patterns and symbols. And so these two parts of your mind work together in a very interesting way. You might think, like, because your conscious mind is less powerful, that it doesn't have a role. But the biggest and most important role of your conscious mind is to hold a picture and to keep replaying the thoughts of the things that you desire to have in your life. So what I mean by that is, if your goal or your vision for your life is to, you know, become uber wealthy, live in the nicest house, and, you know, have a successful radio business, that's your conscious mind's job, to keep holding the pictures of what that would look like, to keep having thoughts about that, about the picture that you're having. And in so doing, you're creating a picture that's steering your life. So your conscious mind is steering your ship of life, steering your bicycle, you know, whichever mode of transportation you want to liken it to. It's steering your life. And that picture that you keep replaying in your mind, that you keep consciously thinking about, after enough repetition, it gets solidified and stored in your subconscious mind. And once your subconscious mind gets the picture, that's when it starts attracting the things that you need in your life in order to make that picture a reality. So that's kind of the interplay between the two minds.
That was very, very interesting. Now,
well, I can think of it in a nutshell. Yeah, what do you want to know more about that, or what's, you know, well, what do you want to unpack there?
I actually wanted to ask you this question. I've been meaning to ask you for a while now. You know, the way the brain is wired, is it true that the more you use that kind of way of thinking, the stronger that pathway becomes, and then later on it's harder to change?
Yeah, I believe it's called neuroplasticity, yeah. So okay. Definitely, you know, when you use a part of your brain more and more, it becomes stronger. There are more neurons devoted to it. And so that neural pathway of your brain literally becomes stronger. I'm not 100% an expert in that field. I think it's more neurology, but I know that it's true. I don't know, you know, the ins and outs of it, but that's definitely true. It's like any repeating pattern in your life, you know, like any habit which we've spoken about. The more you do something, the easier it becomes to do. The more it becomes part of your mind, and the more automatic it becomes.
But it's never too late. You can always change
it. No, it's... Of course, yeah, you can always change it, because the goal or the role of your subconscious mind is it, you know, it has to process a lot of information really quickly. Like a lot of information really quickly. More information than I think we can fathom. Because You know, it's got to take in information from all of your senses, process it, and kind of chunk it down, break it down into a smaller amount of information that your, I'm going to say, like, your puny conscious mind can understand, right? That our brains can fathom, you know, because we're complex creatures, but I think on the face of it, we're actually very, you know, like, simple, plain beings, and we can't comprehend that much information at one time. So your subconscious mind really kind of chunks that part down for you. What happens is if you can repeat something enough times, you know, you can rewire the neurons in your brain and you can make the thing that you want to have in your life more automatic. That means that it's going to get stored in your subconscious mind. So whatever information comes through your senses, it's going to be broken down or chunked down in line with whatever you wanted to. Whatever you wanted, you know, your belief or your value or whichever part, whichever picture you're holding in your mind right now that you really desire.
Andre, how much of the mind would you say makes up the personality? Because we all come with a different personality. Is the way your mind is made up also responsible for your personality?
I'm wondering, because your mind, you see, your mind is not, you're born with a mind, but like I said at the beginning, it's a static energetic field. It gets fed information, and through time and repeated experiences, it starts to form beliefs and values, and it gets conditioned in a certain way. So I would say that it does impact your personality, although I'm not entirely sure how, in what way. I haven't done extensive reading or research onto that topic specifically. In the sense that, let's say, so your subconscious mind houses your beliefs. So let's say your parents believe certain things, and obviously when you're younger, you kind of take on the life that your parents want you to have, because, you know, they're taking care of you, they're feeding you. So if your parents repeatedly, let's say they're very overly cautious, they're anxious, you're not allowed to touch anything or leave their side because it's dangerous out there. And so that those kind of repeated patterns will translate into your personality, where you might become, you know, more neurotic or more anxious. So in that sense, I think the mind does impact your personality quite a lot.
So you're also saying that a lot of the stuff we hear and see as children definitely impacts the mind and the way we go forward in life as adults.
Yeah, absolutely. Even from in the womb, it's been recorded and studied that certain sounds and certain beliefs can start forming in the womb already. Even traumas that your parents go through while you're, you know, if your mother goes through a trauma and you're obviously in her womb, then it can affect you in a lot of ways. There's some of the therapies that I do and that I was taught, actually, you know, they rely on, or they're open to traumas that happen while you're in the womb already. Because as soon as you're alive, you know, your heart's beating, that means you have an energetic field. Physics, you know, you wouldn't think that physics and the mind actually, you know, have a connection, but actually it comes down to quantum physics. Like, we're all made of particles that are continuously vibrating, and so we are in connection with everything around us. And what happens to the people around us, especially, you know, like when you're still in your mother's womb, you're very much a part of her body. You're a part of her feelings, her life, her mind. What happens to her affects you as well, because we're all energetic beings. We're particles that are vibrating and that are being attracted or repelled to and from one another. So I know it's like a big concept to think about it, and you know, it can be easily dismissed, but definitely what happens to you in your womb, you know, early childhood has a huge, huge impact on your mind, because it already creates the belief structures through which you filter everything in your life.
Andre, do you believe it's possible to read someone's mind?
I don't think so, no. I think you can pick up their body language, you know, you can, if you know them well enough, you might know that something's off, but reading someone's mind, I'm not sure, yeah. It's very, very interesting, because, like I said, your mind is not especially your subconscious mind, it's pictures, it's symbols, it's patterns, and it's energy. So I don't think humans are capable of, like, you know, measuring energy in the sense that some other instruments or tools allow us to measure light and sound and all of these other things that exist. They're very real, you know. We know they exist in our universe and on Earth, but we can't perceive them, you know. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And
you know, like, with people you're close to, you can tell when something's off, right? You know, you can tell, let's say, your brother or your parents. You can tell if something's not right.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what it comes down to is, like, because when you're not feeling good, you know, when you're in a negative emotional state, the particles that you're made up of, they're vibrating slower and slower. So their frequency is lower, which means they're attracting things of lower frequency. And you can tell, you know, we are energetic beings, just like we can have a conversation from, like, thousands of kilometers away. And when you're happy and laughing, I can feel that excitement and I feel happy and laughing. Like, we pick up that energy.
Yeah.
And I think, I would say that's one way we could potentially read each other's minds. You know, we can at least...
Exactly. That's a good point.
Feel each other's energy.
The energy.
Know? And I don't know exactly how to describe it. You're stumping me with that question. But I think we can, in that sense, we can read each other's minds. Yeah,
it's all about the energy. Energy is so important. I don't think people realize that, how important energy actually is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that, it's a path I never thought I would have gone down when, you know, when I'm studying the mind and when I'm reading all these books because, you know, I'm continuously trying to learn and grow and develop my knowledge. Then you start reading about energy and spirit and, you know, we've given words to things and we've also given meanings to words that describe things. And everybody, you know, thinks of these words differently. Like when I used to hear spirit, I would just think that's a load of toshwala. That's like some, what is a spirit, you know? But some people just call the spirit energy, you know? It's, we just have different words to mean things. But energy is very real. It's very real, whether you're, you know, whether you call yourself a spiritual person or not, or whether you're religious or not. We know that energy is real, and whatever you choose to label it, it exists. And you can, that's why you can walk into a room and you know, like, when somebody's speaking about you, or where they're like, oh, hush, 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 you know, Eon just walked in, speaking about him. You can feel that. That's your mind, you know, that's your mind picking it up. I'm not sure, you know, how else to describe it. I don't know how you think about that specific kind of concept.
No, I actually share your sentiments, Andre. Very much so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. There's, like I told you, there's a lot we can unpack about the mind, because it's something that we have so little understanding of, actually. I was speaking to my mother about this yesterday, actually, because I wanted to translate some of the things I've learned in English into Afrikaans. And, you know, a lot of the words just, they don't mean the same thing if you translate them into Afrikaans, just because of culture and the
true
like what is the mind in Afrikaans? You can speak Afrikaans, right? What is the mind?
Well, dis nie die brein nie. So it is die.
Nee, dis nie.
Oh my gosh, now you actually you got me. Hold on.
So
the mind, if you could read my mind, as jy my nee, listen, I don't know. What is the mind in Afrikaans?
So a word that might come up with you is gedachtes, right? Thoughts.
Yes.
I can your gedachtes lees. But thoughts are not your mind entirely. Thoughts are, you know, a tool that you use to exercise your, you know, like, to make your mind dynamic, to exercise your use or control of the energy that exists, you know. But it's not your mind. So mind would translate to verstand.
Yeah.
In Afrikaans. However, it's not the same. For example, the mind is verstand. What is your subconscious mind in Afrikaans?
Onderbewussein, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. So in my research, onderbewussein seems like the right word. But then So now we've got a word for the subconscious mind, but what is the conscious mind then?
Bewusstsein. I don't know.
Bewusstsein, yeah.
You actually got me here today, and you would think that I would know this.
You know, my mom's an Afrikaans teacher. She's taught Afrikaans now for 20-something plus years as a second language. She's now a first language Afrikaans teacher.
Wow.
And it's just, you know, it's not that she doesn't know. It's just that the words don't mean the same things.
Yeah, it sort of loses its meaning when you translate it, like you said.
Because she said, you know, this your bewusstsein, you can't use that word in a sentence the same way you would use conscious mind in a sentence. It doesn't have the same meaning. Because she mentioned to me that you know, when somebody's like been unconscious, then they come back, you know, they're conscious again. That's kind of how you would use bewusstsein and lakombai.
Yeah, you know, after they fainted. Yeah.
it's just one example of how your mind is. And I'm focusing on this a little bit because I'm also coaching somebody now whose main language is Afrikaans. And so they understand English, but I want to communicate obviously in Afrikaans. I can speak Afrikaans, but it's very challenging.
Mm.
For example, if I ask you, like, translate the sentence, what do you believe in? Can you translate it?
What do you believe in? Waarin glo jy?
Yeah. Okay.
Is that right? Yeah.
Okay. So. That's right. Yeah. Well, now I ask you again, what are your beliefs? Can you translate that?
Wat is jou geloof? I think.
Mm-hmm.
Your beliefs. Of waarin glo jy?
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So waarin glo jy, that's like the same thing, right? But the sentence is different in English.
Yeah, yes, you're highlighting something here. Yeah, it's true.
If you use the word geloof, a lot of people will think, especially because of Afrikaans culture, it's very traditional, people will think of religion.
Faith, that's religion, geloof,
that's a Christian. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just very different, you know? So I'm finding it interesting exploring the mind in English, because, you know, every day I'm still learning about the mind and how it works. I'd love to talk to you a little bit about how we internalize our reality and how our mind processes things. We're not done with this discussion, but I'm just throwing it over to the Afrikaans side, because it's one thing knowing about the mind in English, but do I know the mind in Afrikaans?
And yeah.
I'm not sure that I can say that I do, you know.
Same here.
It's very interesting.
I thought so, but apparently not. but very interesting translations there, Andre.
We were speaking about this before the episode. But if anybody, you know, has any questions, I'd love for them to send them through to you, to send them through to eRadio so that we can talk about them. Because, you know, I have this knowledge and I want to share it with people. But I don't want to share just what I find valuable. You know, I want to hear from other people. From the audience, you know, what do you guys want to know? What do you want to, what's valuable to you? You know, what part of a mind mystifies you? If you want to know why you should even care or how you can apply the knowledge that you have about mind into your real life, please, you know, is there a number that they can message to send in the questions?
Absolutely. You know, I think you just read my mind, Andre, because I was going to... You see, it is possible.
You told it.
Okay, we know now that you can read my mind. Okay. Oh, goodness. That's a bit of a problem. But anyway. okay, so yes, because I was just about to share the number. And then when I pulled out the number here, you mentioned it. So I'm thinking there's a bit of a connection there.
Tell everybody the number. Yeah.
Okay, but that's great. Okay, so yeah, please send us your thoughts and not your prayers, your thoughts to our eRadio WhatsApp line 061-253-0670. We want to hear from you. Let us know what you want us to talk about, or maybe if you have a problem. Because Andre can really help you. Andre, you do some private sessions as well that you can help with.
Yeah, absolutely. I do one-on-one coaching. I find so much energy and joy in helping people. And every single time I have a session when I have one-on-one coaching with my clients, it's a wonderful experience. I get to help them and, share my insight. And you know, you asked me earlier, is change possible or is it possible to change? Absolutely. You see it every time you have a coaching conversation with someone. It's possible. And my goal is to help people become unstoppable, because that's a feeling that really resonates with me. So if anybody out there is interested, my website, everything's there. According to Eon, it's very sassy. So
I love it.
AndreNLCoaching.com. That's how you can find me. Yeah.
Awesome. Andre, thank you so much. Next week, the mind continued, because it's such a big topic and so much to explore on the mind. So until next week then, I think we should actually play out this episode with that song, If You Could Read My Mind. Maybe the more modern version that was released of that song.
Yeah.
It was originally done by Gordon Lightfoot. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was like the 70s, I think, 60s or 70s. Oh. And then there was this group who came out with it, I think Stars on 54 or something. And then they brought out this like newer version of If You Could Read My Mind, like a dancey version. We'll probably play that one. Okay. It's more suitable for the audience. Let's play out with that song.
That would be great, Jeff. Either that,
Either
that or some Star Wars, you know, I'm picturing like the Jedi...
goodness.
The Star Wars theme song.
Okay, we'll do that next week.
Awesome,
Andre. Right. Thank you so much. Until next week, wishing you a wonderful rest of your week. Nice short week here in South Africa.
Wonderful. Enjoy your week as well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.